You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz, who worked on a program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. The countdown to kickoff continues. We are now just 9 days away from the start of the National Football League regular season. It's hard to believe that is nearly here, but it is. We're talking football, and more football on the program today. Dave Malinsky joins us straight from the Strip of Las Vegas, Nevada, SBR.com's Dave Malinsky. His daily column, Point Blank, over at sportsbookreview.com. It's a great read. It'll make you smarter. The professor joins us. We have a very prestigious lineup today. Sounds like a law firm, doesn't it? Malinsky, Cardano, and Sincata. Mike Cardano returns to the rotation. Mike's joined us on a weekly basis every Tuesday since the inception of the network, which I believe is about 3.5 years now or so, if not a little bit longer, whatever it is. But, you know, over the last couple of months, man, Mike's been big-timing us. He hasn't had time for us on Tuesday afternoons. Mike Cardano has time for us this afternoon. The Tony Sincata always has time for us. We've had a lot of fun breaking down the DraftKings Week 1 lineups, and this stuff's getting real. We're on to the tight ends now. We've already talked about the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers. We're talking tight ends on the program. And then next week, we'll be getting into some serious-ass lineups, and I can't wait to dive in. We've been giving you a weekly lineup for the past couple of years as well. Last year, we did very well. We didn't do very well, but we made you money. I believe it was like if you played $20 every week, it was $360. And we made you about $2,400 or so. That's not bad, but we didn't hit the big one. We came close. The biggest millionaire maker cash cow we had was $1,400. But I think I'm better at this now than I was before. We keep getting better at this stuff. I'm ready to attack. I got to be honest with you. I don't like DraftKings baseball and all that stuff. Too many numbers geeks and all this. You know, football, you can think outside of the box, and you can cash if you get lucky if you you pick the right guy outside of the box. So the Tony Sincata will join us. Mike Cardano's going to join us. Dave Malinsky's going to join us. We've got a ton of stuff to get to on the program today, so let's get right down to business. It's not often that the Hamilton Tiger Cats are trending on Twitter. It's even rarer that the Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to be being written about over at Sports Illustrated or over at Yahoo Sports. .com or Barstool Sports or FoxSports.com or CBSSports.com and every other freaking .com out there, all right? As the Hamilton Tiger Cats, well, they managed that feat. And not because they blow and are an 0-8 football team, but they do blow and they are an 0-8 football team because for one reason or another, they thought it would be a good idea to hire Art Briles. So, you know, what? Art Briles? Because, yeah, Art Briles and the Canadian Football League go hand in hand. Now, this is a freaking train wreck, all right? Kent Austin, longtime Canadian Football League quarterback. He's the head coach. I don't know. I think he's got health issues that they're not talking about. He doesn't look well right now, but his team is 0-8. So he steps down. June Jones takes over as, like, this sort of de facto coach. June Jones has quit every job he's ever freaking had. And now June Jones thought it would be a good idea to bring in Art Briles. Now, like, I don't even know where to start with this. What, was Joe Paterno Jr. unavailable? Like, you guys going to hire O.J. Simpson when he gets out? Like, Art Briles, and not only this, guys, they actually hired Art Briles on the same day that they're hosting an event for their women's season ticket holders. Huddles and Heels. And ladies, we want to introduce to you our new assistant head coach, Art Briles, very distinguished college football coach. Oh, yeah, well, how come he's not there? Well, yeah, there was a little incident. Well, what was the incident? Well, there might have been like 52 incidents. Well, what was the incident? Well, he covered up 52 rapes. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, listen, and not only did, so Art Briles got hired and fired by the end of the day because the Canadian Football League commissioner stepped up and called Hamilton and said, what the hell's wrong with you guys? And the Hamilton Tiger Cats backed off, but they really didn't want to back off. Their CEO, Scott Mitchell. I don't know who this clown is, but you're a clown and you need to resign. You just embarrassed the Canadian Football League, all right? The CFL isn't some vagabond rapist type of league where anybody can play in it, and that's what people are talking about now. And the fact of the matter is, I didn't even realize that that lowlife, Eric Tillman, was one of you on your payroll too. So get this, guys. The general manager of the Hamilton Tiger Cats was actually charged and arrested years ago for groping an underage teenage babysitter. Said, oh, it was my medication. Yeah, it was the medication. Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, what a shock that Eric Tillman thinks Art Briles is a good guy. Like, you know, this is a black guy. This is disgusting. You should be ashamed. And then the Hamilton Tiger Cat, Scott Mitchell, doubles down. Well, once we learned the facts of what happened at Baylor, what do you mean? What, you learned the facts about the gang rapes that went on at Baylor? Like, you got to be freaking kidding me. Like, for shame, you all need to resign, all right? Just getting rid of Art Briles isn't enough. Whoever's dumb idea this was needs to go. June Jones, you need to go. Scott Mitchell, you need to go. Tillman, you're lucky you're not in jail. And Ken Austin, time for you to go as well. Clean freaking house. You're 0-8 anyways. You got a bunch of clowns that put this team together, and you're 0-8, and now they're hiring Art Briles. You know, I don't know what kind of world we're living in right now. So Art Briles gets hired. And now Michael Vick has just been named as an analyst on Fox for the upcoming NFL season. I guess he's taking Cutler's job, right? So Michael Vick. Now, never mind the fact that Michael Vick killed dogs and ran a dog fighting ring. And listen, Michael Vick has paid his debt to the society. I used to be a big Michael Vick fan. And then, you know, obviously I didn't like him after what happened. Yet, I'm not a Michael Vick hater. Like, I don't spend every day saying screw Michael Vick and all that type of stuff. But Michael Vick shouldn't be a football analyst on Fox television. Like, he just shouldn't. There are enough guys who haven't killed a bunch of dogs that can do that job. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Michael Vick deserves to have batteries thrown at him for the rest of his life. But I'm also saying that Michael Vick doesn't deserve a plum job breaking down football games on Fox. And never mind the fact that he's a dog killer. How about the fact that he even admitted that he never studied a playbook? It's not like Michael Vick is the most analytical quarterback ever to play the damn game, right? So, hey, I don't know what kind of world we're living in. Michael Vick gets hired. Art Briles gets hired. Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick didn't cover up 52 rapes. Colin Kaepernick didn't kill a bunch of dogs. Colin Kaepernick protested police brutality, and Colin Kaepernick's blackballed. But I guess nobody ever said the world was fair. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. So I've just been informed by Glenn McDonald that we've got a guest swap here. The Tony Cincata comes in earlier. I'm assuming this is on Cardano's doing. Glenn? Yep. Cardano. I told you, he's big-timing us. Now, I don't even know if he's going to join us. I'm going to have to go longer. You're killing me, Mike. You're killing me. Every Tuesday. Every Tuesday. All right. We got a lot of stuff to get to, all kidding aside, on the show today. Ton of football talk. We're in football mode. We'll talk a little baseball with the professor, Dave Malinsky. You can make yourself smarter. Go over to sportsbookreview.com. Read Dave's daily column, Vegas Point Blank. It's right on the front page. The professor, Dave Malinsky, joins us. Dave, always a pleasure. How you doing?
You know, at least I am here on time for you every Tuesday.
I appreciate that. And I do appreciate that, Dave. And the Tuesdays are getting bigger and bigger. Right now, this is our first college football Tuesday, and next Tuesday it'll be our first NFL Tuesday.
It's a big time college football, you know, coming up this week. I mean, no less than about a dozen teams out there on the board this week that will be contenders for a playoff spot. So we get right into it.
You know, Dave, three of the first four games went over the number, and I bet all four of them to go over. I'm not including the Portland State BYU game, but the other four line games during the week. And, you know, to some, it seems simplistic. Oh, you're taking the over in all four games. And I said, yes, yeah, I am, because Colorado State are going to put up 45 on their own. I said Rice will hit the total on their own. The only one I fell short with, I knew UMass and Hawaii would be a track meet. They put up 86 points last year. And then we missed out on the total with South Florida, and I got greedy with that one. High total is 70.5, Dave. But I expect the scoring to continue into week two. And I simplify things. I make money betting on college football overs, and I'm not ashamed of it.
No, it's something that we're going to see change. Now, at some point, the odds makers, of course, have to adjust to this. But what are we seeing? Incredibly bad tackling, because as the concussion impacts every level of football, there's less and less contact at all levels. So you've got guys going out there not knowing how to tackle, and in particular, you don't tackle much in fall practice at all. You never let your skill people get tackled by your defense. So what happens on that first Saturday? A lot of these guys are out there making tackles for the first time, and you see that they're just not prepared to be able to do it.
Yeah, tackling's a lost art. Nobody tackles anymore, Dave. Everybody just launches their body. Like, it's football sort of become like demolition derby. Like, nobody wraps up like the old school linebacker, you know, Singletary, wrap you up, take you down, all the way down. They don't do that anymore. Guys just come flying in and just throw themselves.
Well, part of it is what...
Or they do the old one arm, Dave. The DBs do the old one arm. They stick the arm out. They play like NBA defense almost now, these DBs.
Well, they're forced to in some aspects, especially when it comes to pass rush, because essentially the quarterback now has a strike zone similar to a baseball player.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, okay, there's the quarterback. He's got the ball. I need to go hit him, but I can't hit him above the shoulders or below the knees. So I have to be able to hit him in the strike zone somewhere, and it's just hard for guys to adjust to that. The DBs in particular, you know, have it difficult because the rules have been opened up to really help the offensive players. It's something that the league, you know, college football wanted, pro football wanted. They've opened it up to her. Now, it's real hard to play pass defense because almost any contact at all you can get flagged for.
And scoring is up, and they set all-time records for points per game last year on an average in the NCAA. So let's kick the tires on a couple of these games. I know it's earlier in the week, but you know what? Ohio State and Indiana, about 48 hours away right now. You talk about a big-time football team. I think the Buckeyes have a legitimate opportunity to run the table this year and go to the national championship. They're laying 20.5 on the road against the Hoosiers. It's a rare conference spot to open up the season. The total opened up at 56, and I saw that. I was like, whoa, I think Ohio State can get into the mid-40s here, and it's already up to 58 right now.
Yeah, we're going to write about this one in the Thursday edition of Point Blank, because one of the biggest coaching changes in all of college football is Kevin Wilson taking over as the Ohio State offensive coordinator, because Wilson has been really good in that spot. But here's what's interesting, Gabe, and we will break this down on Thursday. What if Urban Meyer just doesn't know how to coach offense? And that when he had Dan Mullen all of those years, whether it's Bowling Green, Utah, or Florida, they were good. When he had Tom Herman at Ohio State, they were good. Last year, without Tom Herman, that Ohio State offense down the stretch was just terrible. They didn't score against Clemson in the playoffs. The only touchdown in regulation against Michigan was a four-yard drive after a turnover. Meyer has struggled offensively when he hasn't had the ace assistant. Now he's got the ace assistant again, so watch this Ohio State offense make a big leap from last season.
What about the revenge factor for Wilson here?
You know, it's one of these things that almost cuts both ways a little bit, because one of the reasons why Wilson was forced to resign, and here's the deal, essentially Wilson was fired by Indiana, but by him resigning, Indiana was able to negotiate him down to 1 year of buyouts. It's about $530,000. If they had fired him, it would have cost them $2.6 million. So you will read that he resigned. He was actually fired. Yeah, there's a chip on his shoulder, but there's also could be a chip on the shoulder of the Indiana players, because why did he have to resign? Because of the way he treated a lot of the players. Indiana actually had a private investigative firm go and look into their program, and they found a lot of dark incidents in there. Wasn't enough to stop Ohio State from hiring Wilson, of course.
Oh, of course.
Because we know the standards that Urban Meyer has accepted throughout his career. So it kind of cuts both ways, that you could have a chip on the shoulder of some of the Indiana players maybe to get back at Wilson.
All right, Dave, the Michigan-Florida game, they're playing a game of possum here as far as naming their starting quarterbacks. Florida's a mess coming into this football game. Meanwhile, Jim Harbaugh seems to just like to play head games with SEC coaches, and he's doing this right now. So the game was off. It was up all summer. It was like 4.5. It went up to 5. Sort of came down a bit. Then it was off the board. Now I see it's 3.5 Michigan, Dave.
Yeah, I know Florida's got a lot of kids suspended, so it has people a little bit skittish about them. But this is a rebuild season for Harbaugh. Early part of this year, Michigan's got so many new faces in so many new places that I don't think they're going to be anything special till about the middle of the season. This is a case where even a little bit shorthanded, I may like Florida with the points here. I like their team speed. Again, they've got a lot of young players themselves, but they got young players with a lot of talent. So to me, this looks like closer to a pick-em game than where one team should be 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, it's the Harbaugh factor. Michigan have a ton of five-star recruits out there, Dave. You know, only one returning starter on defense. They're a young football team. They should be able to move the football. I like the experience at quarterback, but Michigan are an extremely young football team. It's a toss-up game. I mean, it's a toss-up game. The total's 45, very, very low for a college football game.
Yeah, you got a chance in this game to get over that 45 with a defensive or with special teams, play. So I don't think either offense is going to show a lot of chemistry, but the defenses have athletes. And what separates the Floridas and the Michigans from the rest of the world, when there's a turnover, the linebackers and defensive backs are more like running backs and receivers. When they get their hands on the ball, they can do something with it.
Yeah, and we see this. We'll get to Alabama in a second. We saw with Alabama with all the non-offensive touchdowns last year, Dave.
Really, with Alabama, outside of the defensive line, when any of the other players touch the ball, they look like a runner.
Yeah.
So these aren't accidents for Alabama. These are good athletes.
You know what it is, Dave? You're right. You see, so quickly, you think the number's a little bit too high on Michigan and Florida here?
I do. This looks more like it should be, Pick'em or Michigan 1 than the 3.5.
So Alabama, and you mentioned it, David. I was thinking about it, too. A lot of these kids, if you're a linebacker at Alabama, there's a good chance you were probably a star running back in high school, too, right? So these kids pick up the ball. The DBs were wide receivers. And it's their opportunity to score a touchdown. And they just find a way of getting there. And it leads me into the FSU-Alabama game here, Dave. All right, so Bama are laying 7. The total's 49.5. I've made a lot of money betting on Alabama overs. Did it in the 2 national championship games against Clemson. There's a perception that, Alabama, smash mouth, even the SEC. The SEC is a much higher scoring conference than people realize. And Alabama, they've got a smash mouth defense, but they also score 39 points a game. And you look at the skill position players that they have. Hurts is going to be better. You got a deep stable of backs led by Bo Scarborough. You got a NFL-caliber wide receiver in Calvin Ridley. Defensively, they're rebuilding on the D-line. Their secondary is deep. Alabama will find a way to score, maybe a punt return, a pick six, a fumble return, etc. I just think this total is too low at 49.5, and FSU score 33 points a game.
Well, what have we seen the last 2 years in the championship game? We've seen a team from the ACC spread the Bama defense, go fast, and wear that defense down a little bit. Because Saban runs a complex defense. When you run a complex defense, you have to get your calls in all the time. Well, what Clemson did, they said, okay, let's hurry up. Let's get you confused. You won't get your calls in. You won't get your substitutions in. Ordinarily, when you take on the best team in the country, you think more about slowing it down than speeding it up. Florida State's got to do the opposite. Try to speed the Alabama defense up. Don't shorten the game.
Yeah.
Try to get them uncomfortable, because those last 2 fourth quarters against Clemson, the Bama defense was pretty much out of gas. I think Florida State needs to try to set that same kind of pace.
All right, Dave, I was thinking off the top of my head, and I haven't looked this up, but off the top of my head, Nick Saban, how many games has he lost at Alabama over the years? 11 or something, whatever the hell it is.
But how about not many?
Yeah, let's just go over the list, though. So Deshaun Watson beat him, caused him a lot of distress, and even in the championship the year before when Bama held on and won the football game. Cam Newton beat them. Johnny Manziel beat them. So that's off the top of my head of Tim Tebow. Florida, going back to the Florida days. Like you said, he doesn't lose a lot. So Johnny Manziel beat him. Tim Tebow beat him. Cam Newton beat him. Deshaun Watson beat him. All mobile quarterbacks. That's the kryptonite to Nick Saban's defense. the mobile quarterback, and that's what DeAndre Francois is.
Yeah, because remember, Saban has been a defensive coordinator for a long time. So he comes from a different era. So things like the spread offense and a mobile quarterback, those are relatively new in time. So for as good as Saban's packages are, this is sort of like that one weakness, that non-traditional. What's happened, though, and what Saban's trying to do more and more is get faster and faster players to run with those opposing quarterbacks. They still couldn't do it against Clemson when they had to.
You know, they've got speed at the backer position, but they got worn out, as you stated, with the fast tempo. And another thing is, Dave, Saban loves those NFL-size monster kids on the D-line to collapse the pocket. And if you got a fast quarterback, you can just go around these guys. You know, they're so big. They're not very mobile. Alabama's D-line, never very mobile. They're massive. And that's another reason why these mobile quarterbacks cause them issues. I think we can get to 49.5, Dave. I really do.
Yeah, because it's yet another game where if you get just one special teams or defensive touchdown, and you can certainly get it from those athletes, it takes a big load of what the offenses have to produce.
And another thing is, Dave, Bo Scarborough can pop one at any time. DeAndre Francois can pop one at any time. Jalen Hurts can pop one at any time. There's a lot of guys that if they get a little space, it's not a shock if they run for a 60-yard TD. You know, they're going to come out flying on this fast new track. Well, I guess we'll find out. It's the first football game ever played in this stadium, Dave.
Yeah, we know that it's going to be perfect conditions. You know, the track's going to be a little bit quicker. And again, if we can get Florida State into the right game plan, don't be intimidated by Bama. Don't think, well, let's hang in the game and try to win it late. No, get after Alabama. It increases your chances of getting blown out, but at the same time, it also increases your chances of pulling that upset. If you play into Bama's hands, it's just not going to work.
All right, so let me ask you, Dave, I do a daily video. Well, we have a lot of videos daily, but we do a daily video, and I don't make the headline. Our guy that's working the camera right now, Camera 2 Drew, makes the headline, and he likes to make it controversial, clickbait style, and then people end up hating me without actually watching the video. So I ask, do you make the headlines for your column, Dave, or you submit the column and they make the headline?
I get to make the headlines.
Because I like
that. That's one thing that I do get to do.
I like your headline today. We'll take more than luck for the Colts to win. So that's why I bring this up. All right, so the Andrew Luck situation. I was in a fantasy football league draft last night. I'm in another tonight. I'm in all till Thursday night, David, and I'll see you this weekend in Vegas. Andrew Luck was dropping. Nobody wanted to touch him for obvious reasons. I saw the quotes with Chuck Pagano yesterday with the media saying, listen, season opens next week. What's going on? Where's Andrew? Is he ready to go? Pagano was getting a little perturbed and did the old, listen, I got to coach the players that I have here. It's looking more and more and more like Scott Tolzien's going to be the quarterback in week one in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's got to be so disturbing for the Colts because a team that's really outside of the quarterback position is below average. They had such a favorable opening schedule that if Luck was healthy, you know, you were going to open up with the Rams, a home game against the Cardinals, you know, which is winnable, and then the Browns. You had a chance to get 3-0 right off the get-go. What I focus on at point blank today, though, is that, you know, Ballard came in as the general manager and said, okay, we're not going to worry about Luck. We have to completely rebuild this defense. Well, now that Vontae Davis has announced that he's going to miss at least the opener today, you're going to have at least six guys starting next week for the Colts that have never played a down in a Colt uniform before on defense. And Gabe, I'm not sure the guys are that good anyway. It's not like they went out and brought in a lot of top-of-the-line free agents. They're just shuffling some new faces in there. This defense may not be talented, and it certainly won't have a chemistry.
Listen, Gregson was like drafted like a fantasy football draft player would. He kept taking offense. He didn't address their needs. Ballard comes over, longtime assistant in Kansas City, brings a physicality. I like the draft, you know, Dave, with the Hookers and the Bashams, et cetera. They definitely are going to get more physical in years to come. But right now they're young, they're raw. And I look at Chuck Pagano in a very similar situation to I looked at John Fox. You got a new GM. You got a GM that's sort of looking to change things over. And with all due respect to Pagano, I'm not sure how great of a coach this guy really is.
No, we'll find out this year because this season is going to take coaching. If it's Tolzien and if it's all these new faces on defense, that means week to week your coach has to get the job done. But look at that schedule, Gabe. I mean, they could get out, even with Tolzien, they can get out 3-0. They could potentially get out 5-2. I mean, you got early home games with Cleveland, San Francisco, and Jacksonville. You can't ask for much more than that. So the schedule is going to allow them to compete. What I'm going to look forward to is, let's say they do get out 4-3 or 5-2. When the schedule picks up, they might not be ready for it. That's when our window of opportunity will come into play.
I rarely disagree with the professor, but I think they could be 0-3, Dave. I'm thinking negative with the Colts. I got the Cardinals beating them in week two, and I'm not so sure they can beat the Rams in week one with Tolzien.
Well, if you don't beat the Rams and you don't beat Cleveland, then Pagano probably doesn't finish the season anyway. So it's sort of a blessing for him. But no, I don't think they beat the Rams with Tolzien. I think that Rams defense would be the best unit on the field, chance to control the game. So if you just have Todd Gurley and the Ram defense, that's enough. Jared Goff doesn't have to be that much of a factor. So that's the shame, though, for Indy in terms of Luck not being there. If Luck was there, 3-0 was possible. 5-2 or 6-1 would have been possible. That schedule laid out awfully well for them.
Dave, like you said to me earlier this morning, it looks like we're going to need the whole hour. We don't have it. I wanted to get your thoughts on week three dress rehearsal, but we can carry that over into next week as far as form. What did you make of some of the performances of the teams going into week one in the National Football League? But quickly, in about a minute, Rich Hill on the Hill tonight for the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were looking at that Hill performance against Pittsburgh because it was such an exceptional game. As, wow, look, this journeyman had his step up. It might be time to come in and fade him. It wasn't that that was such a magical game for Hill last week. Hill has been really, really good. If we go all the way back to July 1st, 5-1 with a 2.25 ERA. Naturally, the one loss was the no-hitter at Pittsburgh. But in that span, gave 72 strikeouts, only 37 hits allowed. When you've got a guy that almost doubles his strikeouts-to-hit ratio over nine starts, that's exceptional pitching. This was not a one-off by Hill last week. He's been real good for a couple of months now.
Dave Malinsky. Check out his column on a daily basis. It's great stuff, and there's a lot of other great columns. And it's nice to see columns. You know, everyone, no one writes anymore. Great stuff, Dave. Thanks for the time. Check it out, sportsbookreview.com. Vegas Point Blank right on the front page. You can't miss it. Thanks for the time.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
The Tony Cincata joins us next. Fantasy football, week one, tight ends.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm fired up. I'm having fun today on the show. Dave Malinsky is always a great guest. Mike Cardano, we'll see if Mike actually shows up and doesn't big time us. Mike was supposed to be on now. He had to push us back. Meetings. But we've had a great time breaking it down with the Tony Cincata. We talk quarterbacks. We talk running backs. We talk wide receivers. Now let's talk some tight ends, week one DraftKings. And then next week, Tony, we'll dive in and we'll actually talk about an actual week one lineup. But before we do, let us remind you to go over to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. You get 10% off, guys. You're going to win your fantasy league, all right? And, you know, yesterday we actually had a guy try to sign up, and he said he had some problems, so hopefully everything got worked out with that. But, yeah, it's going to help you win your fantasy football leagues. And, you know, the drafts are now, so sign up now, guys. And it's going to help you for DFS as well. It's season long. It's only going to cost you like $35 or something like that. Definitely worth it. Let's bring in Tony Cincata right now. What up, Tony?
Not much. Getting ready. I mean, week three is in the books. Week four is like a meaningless game. And then all of a sudden we got things coming out. I wish the lines would stay stable in some of these games, but I'm ready and raring to go. And I'll tell you what, I got one tight end that I like way more than everybody else. So I'm interested to see, Gabe, if we're on the same page here.
Yeah, I'm excited about a few of these guys as well. And listen, Tony, you know me. There's not a bigger degenerate at the network than myself. You know, I bet on Korean basketball at 4 a.m. every Friday night. And even I don't touch week four of the preseason. Like, I don't know who's playing who. I don't care. I'm like, whatever, man. It's a battle for some dude to make the practice roster. Like, you know, there's nothing to learn. There was stuff to learn in the first 3 weeks. There is nothing to learn from week four, guys. And now it's safe to have your fantasy drafts because no one's going to be playing. So let's jump in. Most expensive tight end on the board week one, DraftKings prices we're using. Greg Olsen, $6,200 versus the San Francisco 49ers. I'm a big fan of Greg Olsen, but I don't look at this game as a great spot for him here. I don't think this game's going to be a shootout. You got the McCaffrey factor. Kid's playing his first pro game. Oh, yeah, he's playing his first pro game in the Bay Area where he played at Stanford. Calvin Benjamin's looking really good. In past years, they needed to rely on Olsen. He was the only guy. Now they don't have to. I'm not spending the money here.
And throw in that Cam Newton has barely practiced in the preseason, so getting his timing back the first week will be tough there. So I expect this to be a closer game than most people expect, and I wouldn't go and pay up the money for Greg Olsen either.
Yeah, too expensive. $5,900, Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed. Eagles secondary, kind of shaky, but they're not terrible versus tight ends, actually, Tony. They didn't get scorched by tight ends last year. This should be a higher scoring football game. It's a high total in the 48 range. I've been projecting. I like Carson Wentz in this game, and I got another guy we'll get to. But Kirk Cousins has struggled. This Redskins offense hasn't looked good in the preseason. What's your take on Reed? I don't like him here.
I'm not going to play him for $5,900, and I think that if you want to play him, you could go ahead and play him. I mean, there's never a bad week there. I just don't think he's one of the top tight end options, and then you have to pay the second highest price that isn't there. And in fact, Gabe, I think we're going in the same place. I don't think he's the best tight end option in this game.
Yeah, I like you. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. All right, let's get to a big name that I do like, and I took him in a draft last night. Jimmy Graham, $5,100. Like this setup against Green Bay. I think the winner's going to have to get into the 30s to win this football game.
Oh, yeah. All right, so here's where statistics can be deceiving. Right now, it looks like Jimmy Graham against tight ends. Last year, Green Bay was 17th in the league. The reason they were 17th wasn't because they were good at stopping tight ends. It was because the wide receivers ran all over them, and they were 32nd in the league against wide receivers. So they'll be able to pick their poison against this Green Bay defense, which is terrible against the pass. And if they want to throw to Jimmy Graham, he can be. I think when you look at it, $800 less than Reed, $1,100 less than Olsen. If you take that top tier of tight ends, he is absolutely the better play.
I agree with you. And listen, I'm a psycho. I don't care what people think. I like to take two tight ends in DraftKings. His tight ends are productive, baby, and they're cheaper. You know, I don't mind a tight end as a flex, a double tight end set. We'll get to that momentarily. All right, so Jimmy Graham, I do like him. Tyler Eifert, 46. Don't like this matchup. He's banged up right now. Don't like the matchup against the Ravens. You?
Tyler Eifert, he's a touchdown machine, and that's it, right? He doesn't catch the ball down the field. We got A.J. Green being healthy now. I don't like him at $4,600, $500 less than Jimmy Graham. I would probably go there. I would actually go down to the guy that's $300 less, Delanie Walker, ahead of him as well. And then we got another guy that's going to be $3,600 to go less. So he's way down the list for me.
Yeah, Delanie Walker's a guy. I wouldn't say you're crazy if you like Delanie Walker. Fair price at $4,300. Raiders secondary is soft, and this game's going to be a shootout. Highest total of week one. And Tony, Mariota, he's got all these weapons, but I've seen in the preseason, too, he's still throwing to Rishard Matthews. He's got a rapport with these guys, right? So he knows Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker could have a big game against the Raiders.
People don't realize how good Marcus Mariota was last year. He was the number one player through weeks 5 through 12. Two seasons ago, Delanie Walker had 92 catches in this offense. You're right. There's a reliance there, and there's a built-in comfort factor.
All right, so let's get to a guy that it sounds like you and I both are on the same page with. And I just love the value of the price here. And
yes.
I'm talking about Zach Ertz.
Yes.
I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to throw the football around the yard. They brought in these wide receivers for a reason. We're seeing in preseason, Carson Wentz has looked good. The number one offense has looked good. like I said, I expect this game to be a higher scoring game. And look, we can stack Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz, and you're not spending a lot of money there then, Tony. Then I can go and get a Julio Jones. I can go out and spend, bring in a Larry Fitzgerald and put together a nice freaking roster for week one.
Absolutely. People don't realize as a rookie quarterback, Carson Wentz had the 6th most passes in the league. Imagine what it's going to be like the second year under his belt. They bring in Alshon Jeffrey. That will help Zach Ertz get open in the middle. I think it's a huge play in a game that's going to be one of the highest scoring games of the weekend. And at that price, at $3,600, it's an absolute steal. And then he can go and he can load up as Julio Jones. You want to get a little Le'Veon Bell in there. That's the way you do it.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, the Redskins gave up 114 receptions to tight ends last year. You know, you got Norman and Breland. They should be good. They're not. All right?
No,
It's just like they should be, but they're not. I think they're going to be a little bit better, but I'm standing by this. And I love seeing that Carson Wentz bomb to Torrey Smith. And that's what he does. That's what they're going to do. I'm standing by this. You know, you and I talked about Tyrod Taylor in week one. Stuff changes, right?
Right.
I don't even know if the Bills can have 53 players next Sunday. They might forfeit the game, Tony. So, you know, stuff changes, so to speak, in a nicer word to putting it. But I even wavered on Carson Wentz in this spot, and I love that stack with Zach Ertz.
Oh, absolutely. It'll give you a little opportunity time. You know, you listen to all these shows and people say you can wait on quarterbacks. Well, sometimes you can win in DFS with a quarterback that's not the upper name. There's been $2 million winners with Alex Smith at quarterback. So you don't have to go balls to the walls at quarterback if you have the other positions covered.
All right. Who are a couple of other tight ends that catch your eye? We got about 2 minutes here.
One guy is Ben Watson. You go look at last year. All they did is throw the ball short. Joe Flacco had one less pass than Drew Brees. Everybody's banged up. If Max Williams healthy, one of those two guys could have 5 to 8 catches in week one, Watson or Max Williams.
I drafted Danny Woodhead last night late in a season-long league. Yeah, I figured worst guys to have on my roster.
As long as he's healthy, I think he's going to catch 50 balls.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think he's getting, exactly. They don't have a lot of weapons to work with. Like you said, Flacco loves that quick dump off as well. But I don't really know if Flacco's a health situation. Hunter Henry, they're playing Denver in week one, though.
They're playing Denver, and we still got that situation there where the two tight ends are in the offense, and it gets me a little crazy trying to figure out which guy to go for. A guy that I like, but Andrew Luck not being back, I kind of wonder, is Jack Doyle. It's a guy that I was picking in a lot of my leagues. When the Andrew Luck news came out, I stopped drafting him in a lot of my season-long leagues. He's a guy there. And, of course, the trade today in Pittsburgh, Vance McDonald now going to Pittsburgh. I think that was a great matchup. Jesse James was one of the guys I was going to talk about. So if Vance McDonald's going to get the work, and he's going to go in there and take over Jesse James, he's going to have a big, big week, week one.
All right, so it sounds like we're on the same page. You're going, if you're going to play one guy right now, you're going to save the money and go Zach Ertz?
Absolutely. I have 3 lineups done, and he's in all 3.
Yeah, I like where we're going with this. I put together a lineup, but I didn't screw around either, Tony. I put together the players we talked about, and it worked. I can afford them. Hey, Carson Wentz, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Zach Ertz at tight end. And, you know, I only got about $4,200 left for my flex, though. Camera 2 Drew laughed at my Rishard Matthews pick. I said, you got to think outside the box sometimes, kid.
That poor kid, he's had his whole life made for him. His mom still gives him $20 to go to get lunch during the day. You know, they don't know what it's like to grind and grind away, Gabe, and just take care of business.
I don't know. His wife's, he's coming in with pre-made lunches and stuff. I got to go like a man to the, I got to go to a fast food restaurant like a man to get my lunch.
Cameraman Drew, he's loving, he's playing a little DFS baseball every night. He wants a Blue Jays pitcher in his lineup, and we don't understand why.
Thanks, Tony.
Take care.
Check out Tony on the Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Networks. He's on all night, actually, 11 to 3 a.m. Check him out. Great stuff. Mike Cardano next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Great show so far today. Ton of football talk. Dave Malinsky, Tony Cincotta. Let's bring in a very, very busy man. The operator of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, putting together an empire. But, you know, there's a lot of meetings to go to when you're putting together an empire. Mike Cardano joins us, one of the Roto experts. Of course, if you want to win your fantasy football league this year, go over to rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. RAGE. Mike Cardano joins us. What's going on, Mike?
Always time for you, Gabe. We're going to finish this with some class after Cincotta.
I appreciate that. Tony kept it pretty classy today, actually. He took a couple of shots at Cameron 2 Drew, but he kept it pretty classier than normal. Because, yeah, Tony's a pretty sleazy guy. Classier than normal. He's got the best damn promo on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, though. You like me. Your domestic partner doesn't need to know.
Yeah. That's him. That's him.
That's good. All right, so Matt Stafford. Saw a lot of people last night. Oh, Matt Stafford, this highest paid player, LOL, and all this other stuff. I don't care. I don't pay attention to this stuff. He'll be the highest paid quarterback until the next quarterback signs.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, he's 51-58 in his career. At some point, who was it? Herm Edwards say we play to win the game? Like, how do you get paid that much money? What do you pay Alex Smith? The guy's 23 games over 500. If you're paying this guy who's seven games under. Mark Sanchez is over 500. How about that? What are we paying him?
Well, you know, you look at the teams they play for as well, but Matt Stafford's good. He's not great. You're right. So, all right. So if you're a coach, not fantasy football, but you're a coach in the real world, would you rather have Alex Smith running your team or Matt Stafford running your team?
Alex Smith wins the games. Neither one of them can win in the playoffs, but Alex Smith, he's 79-56.
I know.
Yeah, Over two teams. This guy's
that's the thing with Smith, too. You can't dispute it. He won with San Francisco, and he's winning with KC, right?
Yeah, and, I mean, it's not sexy,
and he won at Utah. He won at Utah in college as well.
You know.
So you're not a Matt Stafford fan. You know, it's funny. I took Golden Tate in a fantasy league last night. I'm not in love with Stafford. Like I said, he's good. He's not great. I think, you know, but the Lions, since Stafford's been there, I saw that they've averaged the 27th rushing attack in the NFL, Mike. So, you know, he's never had a ground game to work with. And it's not like the Lions have ever had a great defense either.
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers don't have ground games to work with. It works out for them.
I know.
The biggest thing you could say is he's durable. I think it's been 6 years in a row that he's played 16 games. I get that, but, you know, he's seven games under 500, maybe somebody else should be getting a shot. I don't know.
Hey, Mike Glennon got $15 million a year, right? Like, what does Joe Flacco make? $20 million? Like, that's – Flacco did win a Super Bowl. I get it, all right? So you're not a fan of the deal.
I get it. I mean, it's just
– You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't with these guys. What are you going to do? Say, no, we're going to let you go, Stafford? Like, they really have a choice.
Yeah, but they lose with him. How much worse can they do?
I know. I can't – You know, listen, I'm a Bills fan. Like, the Lions are like a better version of the Bills. They're just, you know, like, what's the Lions record going to be this year, Mike? I'll tell you. There's three records the Lions will be this year. I guarantee it.
8-8.
7-9, 8-8, or 9-7. Like, is there any other option for this team?
No, is that worth $135 million?
Like, they're not going 6-10. They're not going 10-6. They're going to be 8-8, like you said.
Yeah, he's durable. So, there, they got him.
All right, listen, I thought the Jets would be bad, and I still stand by them going to be real bad. But, dear God, my Buffalo Bills might not be far behind. Looks like the Bills are putting, they're going in on full tank mode. This game's going to be an ugly one, Mike, in week one. Bills and Jets, man. Both these teams go in here knowing we better freaking win this game, man.
It's going to be tough to watch, honestly. If the Jets have a chance to win a game or two, It kind of Buffalo was one of the teams that they could maybe do it, or else they're going to have a real tough shot.
Yeah, from a gambling perspective, I'm a Bills fan, and they just put the board up here. If you guys can put that back up, there's no way in hell I'm laying 7 points right now. Got to lay 7 points with the Buffalo Bills.
No, you know, if I was the Jets, I was saying this to somebody yesterday, I would take the two running backs. They could both catch the ball, and Bilal Powell and Forte. I'd put them both in at the same time. I'd split them out and just have them run into the flat every play. And just chuck it to one or the other and go 3 yards, 3 yards. If they break a tackle, they get 7 yards. They're going to have a hard time moving the ball. You know, even if their defense plays quite well in the first half of games, you know, they can go into maybe they're losing 9-3 going into the half, and they're going to lose 28-3.
I got to tell you.
It's going to be tough.
The total's 41. I don't see how they go over that number.
They're both
going to be running. Like, you know, the Bills going to go into this. They don't have any wide receivers. I don't even know who their quarterback is going to be. It's going to be LeSean McCoy and Jonathan Williams. They're going to get the ball like 62 times. And then same thing. The Jets, it's going to be who can stop the run. I think the Bills can win this. And I got to tell you, it's pretty ballsy. Next Wednesday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, me and Cam, every Wednesday we'll do Survivor theme. It's ballsy, but I'm still considering the Bills in week one, Mike. It's ballsy, though.
Listen, there's no way you can pick the Jets. It's theoretically possible they could win the game, but there's no way you could possibly pick them. I don't know. I haven't looked at all the game one schedules, but if you want to, there's eight games definitely that you could pick the Jets again right off the top where they're not playing the same division's opponents. So you might have something there. I mean, they probably should be 7-point favorites. It's a lot to give. But, I mean, how many points could the Jets possibly score?
I predicted 27-10 for this football game all summer. I mean, like, the Bills will roll them 27-10. I'm still thinking they can win this game and cover, but I'm not in a hurry to lay the points. I'll play them in a survivor, though. I think the Bills
problem with
win.
The Jets is that, you know, they asked the offensive line coach out of the five positions how many spots were still up to grabs going into week four.
Well,
he said all five. They don't even have a line.
Well, it's a mess. The Jets are a mess. The Bills, Nate Peterman's their starting quarterback right now, Mike. And then they brought in Keith Wenning.
Peterman was on Seinfeld, wasn't he? Peterman?
Yeah, Mr. Peterman.
Yeah.
They didn't bring in Keith Wenning. The guy hasn't been in the league for years, and he never even played it. Like, it's a joke. So, and Kaepernick can't get a gig. People in Jacksonville are starting to bitch a little bit now. It's the first time a fan base is starting to say, hey, you know, Kaepernick's better than Bortles or Henny. What are you guys doing? So they're starting to push that aspect a little bit. I don't want to focus in on Kaepernick so much, but then you see Keith Wenning get signed, and then Mike Vick gets a job with Fox. Art Briles yesterday, Mike, hired and fired by the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the same day. But what's your take on Mike Vick getting an analyst job over at Fox?
Well, first with Briles, he didn't even last as long as Belichick did with the Jets. But
Britney Spears' marriages have lasted longer than Briles.
You know, with Vic, what exactly is he an expert on? Is he going to talk about? He's going to tell the how you can run really fast?
That's what I said.
What excel at? You remember Ted Williams tried to coach one time, and he was like, yeah, well, you just hit it. You know, and he expected him to be able to hit
it. Dude, Michael Vick is the same Michael Vick that Jim Morris said, I used to put money in the playbook, and Vick never knew because he never opened it.
Well, he'll give you his take on how well people can run, I guess. I don't know what else he can do, but it's a name. It'll bring people to the television sets to either complain about it or for the few who like him. So that's their thing.
Yeah, people love polarizing nowadays, Mike said. We got to be more polarizing here, more offensive.
Yeah, that's why I got you on, Gabe.
I appreciate that. All right, don't worry, I'll bring something. I did accuse Doug Marrone and Nate Hackett of having an affair last week, if that's good.
That's a little off, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't understand otherwise, like, why they've been together so long. We got to get out of here, Mike, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Plays in the day next. Well, it was inevitable that we would stumble, and we stumbled last night. We went 1-2 on the program. My apologies. Recreational plays until football gets here on Thursday night, guys. I'm going to take the Marlins. If I took the Marlins last night against Max Scherzer, and listen, you know, we went 1-2. One of our losses was a plus 185 underdog. We're going to take them at plus 140. Give me the Marlins. Give me the Colorado Rockies, minus 150. How do I not take the Los Angeles Dodgers with Rich Hill on the hill at minus 120? And let's go under 9 runs. May the winners be yours.